Right then, just going to pray. Father, I thank you that we're here all together. I thank you that you've got something very special to say to each of us today. And I pray that you will use my voice to say those words, Lord. So we just give this time over to you and ask for your wisdom and your love just to come through during this next 20, 30 minutes, Lord. Amen. So I was on a night out recently with some colleagues from work, and the conversation got around to who's hot and who's not in the office. Now, the boys were talking about who's got the greatest hair and the best dress sense. Let's just say I did not make it on the list. Now, there's nothing like being compared unfavorably with the looks of about 100 other people to make you feel a little bit less than. But it got me to thinking, why do I care what these people think about the way I look? But I do. Now, this week at work, I had a rival agency criticize some of my work on a client's website. Now, just need to say to you that my work is flawless. They knew it, I knew it, and now you know it. But still, I had to send an email to our client to explain why I am right, and this rival agency was very, very wrong. But by this point, my confidence had been a little bit knocked because I'd been criticised. And so I got my boss just to double-check over this email that I was going to send, because I just needed that little bit of external validation. And he read it, and he went, yeah, it's fine, Helen, just send it. And I said, gonna need you to give me a grade. Now, he's worked with me long enough that he can tell when the grammar school crazies just rising to the surface. So he went, it's an A star, Helen. And then backed away before I asked for a certificate or a little statue. But why did I need someone else to tell me that my work is good, that I am capable? But I did. Now, we live in a world that likes to evaluate us. It likes to grade us according to its standards. You're important if you're wealthy, if you're attractive, if you've got talent and ambition. You've all been in that situation where you've seen a married couple and thought, why are they together? I mean, she's stunning and he's rich, maybe? We're always striving to earn what we can, to measure up to these standards, these unrealistic standards. You must be talented to succeed. You must be beautiful to be attractive. Now, we're not stupid. I mean, I know I'm not. My boss gave me an A star. But we know that it's not the world's standards that we should be measuring ourselves by. It's God's standards that we should be measuring ourselves by. Who cares what other people think? It's what God thinks of us. So what are God's standards? Well, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we're failing by the world's standards and we're failing by God's standards. It's not going to be one of those encouraging talks, is it? But when you come to trust in Jesus, the belief that he is the only way to a relationship with God, the Bible says that you become one with him and you take on his righteousness. God looks on you and he sees the purity and the lack of sin that Jesus has. And your identity changes. You go from being a sinner to being a saint. You get in right standing with God. So you are no longer failing by his standards. But actually, you take on the perfection of Jesus. I may have fallen short of the standards of God in my life, but Jesus has picked me up and he's carried me over that line. I'm not a failure to God. In fact, how does he even measure success? Now, our problem often is that despite the fact that we now measure up, we're still evaluating ourselves. We still feel like we're letting God down. Feel like you could do more, be more, mess up less. We still expect God to be measuring us. We think we're coming up short and we approach him with this mentality of, I'm not worthy to even talk to you. And because we're so used to this measurement, we tend to measure God. If he really loved me, I'd be more talented, I'd be more beautiful, I'd have more money. If he really loved me, my life would be easier. This measurement affects our relationship with God. It's hard to receive his love when you just don't feel worthy of it. It's hard to expect our Father to do good in our lives if we don't think that we deserve it. You set off late to meet your friend for coffee and you know you're going to be late, but rather than praying that God will make it so you get there on time, you think, well, I don't deserve it. It's my fault. I was faffing, so I didn't leave on time. I deserve to see the pain in my friend's eyes as she realizes that I valued making sure my eyebrows were even and on fleek rather than leaving the house on time. I deserve for God to not answer my prayers. And so I don't even pray them because I don't expect him to do good. And when you don't feel worthy of God's love, you don't throw yourself on his mercy and his grace. You can't live the life of abundance that he created you to live because you're stopping him from doing miraculous things in your life. Because we measure ourselves by the world's standards, we can't forgive ourselves. We remember the sins that God has forgotten, that he's chosen to forget. We don't see our value in him because we are just so mindful of our wrongdoing that it erodes our sense of value. In our mind, we become the sum total of our sin. We weigh up our sin versus our righteous and good deeds, hoping that we will somehow earn our way back into favor with God. We stop doing things because we want to and we delight in it, but we do things because we have this nagging sense that we've got to earn our way back to God. That's the only way that we can be acceptable to him. That somehow how he sees us is dependent on our behaviour. And so we strive to please him. But the truth is that Jesus changed everything. Galatians 3 says, and all who've been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. He wants to give you blessings. He wants to show you how amazingly generous he is. But the whole time you feel unworthy and unlovable, he can't do that because you're not in that place to receive it. You're not asking him for things, so he can't answer those prayers because you don't feel worthy of asking. I got a parking fine yesterday. I wasn't going to share this because of the crushing sense of shame that I now feel. But I was... It's the first one this week. It's the first one this year. Shall we just call out your sin and your shame for the front of church, shall we? I was running a little bit late. I'd totally forgotten, to be honest, that I even had a car at this point. I was having so much fun that I suddenly realised, my parking's run out. So my friend drove me back to the car just as the parking attendant was there writing the ticket. But on my way, that mad dash across town in the car, I was thinking, it's my fault. I was late, I wasn't paying attention to the time, I was just being forgetful. I don't deserve to be let off. I don't deserve God's mercy in this. I'm effectively stealing parking time from the borough council by parking my car and not paying. So I wasn't really praying because I didn't feel worthy of God answering that prayer. Jesus is perfect and his beautiful gift to us is that we get to live off of his perfection like little leeches. And if Jesus deserves something, then that means if we're sharing in his identity and his right standing with God, then we deserve it too. You have to ask yourself when you're praying, would God want this for Jesus? Jesus who's perfect and has done no wrong. And if God would want that for Jesus, then he wants it for you. By his divine power, God is giving us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. That's 2 Peter. We now share in Jesus' divine nature. Everything that is true of how God sees him is how he now sees us. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That's in 2 Corinthians 5. Colossians 3:3 says, "For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory." Because of Jesus, God sees you as worthy. No matter what you're doing, you're still seen as worthy. Luke 12 says, "What is the price of 5 sparrows? 2 copper coins? Yet God does not forget a single one of them, and the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows." I know it's supposed to be an encouraging verse, but more valuable than sparrows. Thanks. The truth is, though, that we have immeasurable worth because of Jesus, because we're united in him. Jesus died because God considered us worth sacrificing his son for. How worthy must we be that God would do that? But you know what they say, mo money, mo problems. And I kind of see that with this idea of grace, that it says in Galatians 3, verse 28, "There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." We are all equally valuable to God. We're all equally special, which by definition means we're not special. And I really struggle with that. If we're all perfect and we're all loved equally by God, then how special am I? As Christians, we still try to compare ourselves with other people. We might not be seeing who's the most beautiful or who's got the best dress sense, but we're still trying to compare ourselves because we want to have that feeling of being special, of not being overlooked. We know that we're all God's children, so he's got, what, billions of children? How special can I be? Where does that leave me? It leaves me trying to carve a name for myself. It leaves me trying to earn God's favour and to do something that actually counts with my life, that I can be seen by him and by other people. We go back to comparing ourselves not by the world's standards, but by our measure of holiness. Wow, she's a good prayerer. She's a great musician. Her kids like Jesus. What about me? We feel overlooked and useless, that we get that our appearance and money isn't our standard of value, but we're still competing to be worthy in God's eyes. Someone said this to me this week, that if Jesus walked into this room and had to pull up a chair next to someone, who would he pull up a chair and sit next to? Now imagine that Jesus walked into this room, had to pull up a chair next to someone, and chose you. How would that make you feel? I wouldn't feel worthy. But actually, he would choose you. And I can't get my head around that, because how would he choose everyone at the same time? But he would, because you are incredibly valuable to him, and he chooses to spend that time with you. He would pull up a seat. Back to me, I know there's stuff going on out there. Focus. There we go. Yeesh, it's like children. He would choose to sit next to you because you are infinitely valuable to him. The verse I love to go to when I'm feeling a little bit low on the old self-esteem is Psalm 139. And this is going to be really Anglican because it's quite a long verse, so bear with me. Stay focused. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say, even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even the darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvellous, how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the darkness of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. We sometimes feel overlooked, but God is always watching us. And not in a creepy way, but in a loving way. Always watching us. His gaze is always on you. Nothing you do ever goes unnoticed. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. Even when you've moved away from him, even when you've directed your attention to something else, that you've put something as more important in your life than him, he is still thinking about you. His attention is still on you. He's still actively loving you. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. I need this verse because I'm always saying stupid things. And it helps me to know that God has gone before me and has made right the situation that I've gone and landed myself in. I slapped someone at work last week. It was an accident, I would like to point out. I'd gone to kind of mock tapping around the back of the head, but because I wasn't looking, and as I raised my hand, I full on back slapped him in the face. it was bad. Thankfully, it's a friend, so I don't think he's going to sue. But my instant thought was, I'm going to lose my job. But now God knew that was going to happen, even though I didn't, and he clearly didn't, by the look of shock on his face. I can laugh now. At the time, there were tears. Him too. But God knew that was going to happen before I did. And I had to reassure myself of, yes, that was not a good move. Yes, it was an accident. But God can redeem any and all situations. And actually, we've had quite a number of laughs about it since then. He flinches whenever I come near him, but gets my work done quicker. Every meeting that you go into and you don't quite know what you're going to say, every conversation that you've got to have that's a little bit difficult, or every time you just do something that's just silly, God's already gone before you and he's already made a way for you. He's already redeemed the situation. because you are worth that much to him. You place your hand of blessing on my head. He's doing good in your life all the time, even when you don't recognize it. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. He's always guiding us. He's always showing us which way to go. We just need to be aware of what he's doing. Even when we're walking away from him, he's making the way straight so that we go back to him. That's amazing that we can be turned away doing completely our own thing, and he's moving things. He's calling us back to him because we matter that much. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. What a thing to think that all of those bits about yourself that you don't quite like, and I know that most of us have got one or two bits about the way that we look that we'd like to change. I've got two, my face and my body. But knowing that all of those things that exclude me from the office fit list have actually been designed by God, that he chose the way that my nose should look. He decided what colour my eyes should be, all because he's got a plan and a purpose for my life, and I needed to look this way for it. And who knows, in our lives, if we were all incredibly, insanely beautiful, that might actually stop us from achieving the things that God wants us to achieve in our lives. He knit us together in our mother's wombs. It says that he breathed the stars into life. Now, breath takes a second, but knitting someone together, that takes care, consideration, a pattern. He breathed the stars into existence, but he knit you together. That shows love and care. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvellous. How well I know it. Are you at that point where you're actually thankful for your complexity, for the way that he made you? Most of us feel bad about how complicated we are, that we're too emotional or too passionate or too outspoken. Can you be thankful for your personality, for the way he made you? Sometimes we get confused and see aspects of our personality as being the result of sin, but they're not always. You might think that you're being very emotional is because you're selfish, but actually it could just be that God wants you to be empathetic and compassionate. You might see the fact that you're really quiet as being a negative, but it could make you really approachable. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. My sister has got four little boys. Now, I can keep three in my head at once, but if one's out of the room, I've forgotten. I'm not going to lie. It comes back in, and I've lost another. And you know that the one that you're missing is probably carrying a knife or something. But I struggle to keep four kids in my head. God keeps billions of us in mind. And his thoughts towards us are immeasurable. He's always thinking about you. You are never forgotten. You're never overlooked. We compare ourselves with other people because we want to be special. But actually, just by being a child of God, we're special. But that's not enough for me, if I'm honest. Being one of billions isn't enough to make me feel special. So when I heard that I didn't measure up to a couple of people's ideals of what women should look like, it did shake me. And I had to go back to God and say, so what is it about me that makes me special? How did you design me that makes me different to other people? And he gave me some words about my personality that I hadn't really considered before. But when he said it, I thought, that's so true. That's so true. I may not have the perfect shaped eyes. But actually, he's given me a sense of humour that I really like. I don't care if you don't. I make me laugh. And every time I feel a little bit wobbly about other people's standards of how I should be, I can think, you know, it doesn't matter, because I know that God designed me in these particular ways, because he's got a plan and a purpose for my life, and it requires that. We can all pretty much sit okay with the fact that models in magazines have been airbrushed, and these pictures of these guys obsessed with the gym, they're all on steroids. It's okay that these people aren't real, are they? So we perhaps don't feel like we need to compare ourselves with them, but it's really difficult when you are compared with someone that you do know. That's when it's really hard to see your worth, when you see other people who are excelling in something that you wish you were good at, or someone else gets promoted at work and you don't. It's difficult to see how valuable you are. It says in Romans 12, verse 6, God has given us each different gifts for doing things well. Now, often we take these kind of verses and apply it to our ministry gifting. Essentially, how useful are we to God? Are you good at evangelism? Are you a confident speaker? Are you really generous and humble? But actually, maybe he's created you to excel in other things that we don't normally think of. Maybe he delights in the fact that you've got a great sense of humour, or that you really enjoy technology, or that you love rom-coms. Maybe that's what he delights in, that he made you with that particular personality mix. So this is my question for you. What is it about you that he designed uniquely, that he delights in? Because when something happens that makes you question your worth or makes you feel like you are less than, you need to know how your Creator designed you to be. Because if you don't have that sense of identity in him, you're going to get shaken. You're going to get steered off course because you'll try and fit into a mold that you were never created to fit into. You'll try and be something to some people that you're never supposed to be. We need to know who we are, how he made us, what our worth is, without external validation. He decided that you are worthy enough for him to spend time creating. He decided that you are worthy enough for his son to die for. You personally, not all of the billions of his kids, but you individually. So who are we to question our worth if he says we're that worthy? And who are we to question other people's worth if he says they are that worthy? You might still be struggling with that sense of, I'm not good enough. I'm not very intelligent. I'm not very talented. I'm not that good a Christian. And if you are, if those questions have been raised in your mind, then you need to talk to God about it. A thing that I've started doing recently is reading the Bible. Not just started reading the Bible, don't panic. But starting at a verse and just reading until something clicks, until my mind has shifted focus, until my thoughts have changed. Just soaking in that truth and that word of God until whatever lies the enemy has been speaking to my life are corrected, until I hear God's voice. And I think that's a good idea for all of us when we're in that place of not quite seeing our value, is reading the Bible and finding out what God says about us, that truth about who we are. Or just ask him. Ask him, what's unique about me? And wait to see what the answer is. It might come from someone else complimenting you or pointing out something about you. Or it might just come from that still small voice in your heart. But we've got to get our value from God. And I know it's easy for us to say it, but it's got to get to that point where other people can say what they want about you, but you know in your heart what the truth is. So, Father, I pray that you would speak that truth into our lives today. That where we have taken on board the lies of the enemy who has told us things about ourselves that isn't true, that we're not worthy, that we fall short of the standards, that we fall short of your standards, I pray that you would show us the truth, truth of who we are now in Jesus, of that divine nature that we now share in. I pray that we would look to you for our validation and no one else. It's all head theory, Lord, until it becomes our heart knowledge. So I pray that you would just fill our hearts with that sense of belonging, that sense of love, that sense of worthiness, Lord, that you give us our worth, that you make us valuable. Thank you that you do, Lord. Amen.